Chapter 8. A Different Holly. Rusty Trawler Marries Fourth Wife. I was on a train somewhere in Brooklyn when I saw it written on a newspaper. The newspaper belonged to another person on the train. It was the only thing I could read. Not that I wanted to read any more. Holly married him. I wanted to fall under the wheels of the train. How could she marry that stupid child, Rusty Trawler? I was not happy during that time. I lost my job, and I could not find another one. This is what I was doing on the train. I was looking for a new job, and it was going very badly. This and the hot New York summer made me feel even worse. Now I had the mean reds too. When I arrived at my station, I bought a newspaper and read the rest of the story. Millionaire Rutherford Rusty Trawler married the beautiful Miss Margaret Thatcher Fitzhugh Wildwood. Mag! I was happy that it was Mag and not Holly. I also realized that I was in love with Holly myself. When I arrived back at the brownstone, Madame Sophia Spinella met me in the hall. Her eyes were wide, and she was waving her hands.
"Run," she said. "Call the police. She is killing somebody. Somebody is killing her."
It sounded like a huge animal was running around in Holly's apartment.
"Run!"
Madame Spinella screamed again.
"Tell the police!"
I ran upstairs to Holly's door and knocked loudly. The noise stopped, but she did not answer the door. I tried to kick the door open, but it only hurt my leg. I could hear Madame Spinella shouting at another man to call the police.
"Shut up," the man's voice said. "Move out of my way."
I quickly realized that the man was Jose Ibarra Yeager. He did not look as intelligent nor as handsome as he usually did. He looked worried and scared.
"Move,"
he said, this time to me. He took a key and opened the door.
"She is in here, Dr. Goldman."
Another man appeared behind him and walked into the apartment. I followed them into the room. There were eggs on the walls, and the cat without a name was drinking milk from the floor. The lamp was broken, and I stepped on Holly's glasses, which were lying on the floor. I looked toward her bedroom and saw Holly on her bed.
"You're a very tired young girl. You want to go to sleep, don't you?" the doctor was saying, taking her arm.
Holly touched her face and started to cry.
"He's the only one who would let me hug him on cold nights. I saw a place in Mexico with horses by the sea," she said.
The doctor took a needle from his bag and put it in Holly's arm.
"Didn't hurt a bit, did it?" he said.
putting the needle back into his bag.
"Is it because of what happened?" Jose asked.
"Everything hurts. Where are my glasses?"
Holly said. But she did not need them. Her eyes were closing, and she went to sleep.
"Is it because of what happened?"
Jose asked again, angry that he had to repeat himself.
"Please, sir," the doctor said, "you need to leave."
Jose left the room and immediately shouted at Madame Spinella, who was standing at the door.
"Don't touch me! I'll call the police," she said,
as Jose pushed her out of the apartment. He turned round and looked at me. I thought that he wanted me to leave too, but surprisingly, he asked me to stay and have a drink.
"I am worried," he said, in his strong Brazilian accent. "I'm worried there will be a scandal with her breaking everything and shouting like this. It is difficult. My name and work are too important. I know her heart is broken, but first she was sad, then she broke the lamp. Now I am scared."
"But why?" I asked. "Why is she sad about Rusty? She should be happy that he married Mag and not her. I would be."
"Rusty,"
Jose said. He looked confused. I was still carrying my newspaper. I showed him the page.
"Oh, that," he said, smiling. "They thought that they were breaking our hearts, but we do not care. We are happy. We laugh about it. No, it's this."
His eyes looked for something on the floor. Then he picked up a ball of yellow paper and gave it to me. It was a letter from Doc. Holly's brother, Fred, was dead. Holly never talked about her brother again. She also stopped calling me Fred. June, July, and all through the warm months, she stayed inside like an animal in the winter. Her hair turned darker, and she stopped caring about her clothes. Jose moved into her apartment, and Mag Wildwood's name on the mailbox changed to Jose Ibarra Yeager. Holly was still alone most of the time, because Jose was in Washington 3 days a week. While he was gone, Holly stayed inside, only leaving on Thursdays to visit Sally Tomato. It might sound sad, but it was not. Holly seemed to be much happier than before. She seemed to enjoy staying at home and looking after Jose. She bought some chairs and tables for the apartment and learned how to cook.
"Jose says that I'm a great cook. Can you believe it? A month ago, I couldn't even make eggs," she told me.
But she still could not cook. Even easy things like meat and salad were difficult for her. She fed Jose, and sometimes me, things like chicken and rice with chocolate sauce, and something called tobacco cake. She was learning Portuguese, which I would listen to every time I visited her. And she talked about her future with Jose, starting sentences with, "After we're married," or "When we move to Rio." But Jose did not seem interested in getting married, something that Holly knew.
"But he knows I'm having a baby, so he should ask me to marry him soon," she said, sounding hopeful. "I'm 6 weeks. I don't know why that should surprise you. I wasn't surprised, not one bit. I'm so happy. I want to have 9 babies, all with bright green, beautiful eyes. Jose is a nice man, better than all the other men that I've slept with. Yes, he tells little lies, and he worries what people might think. He takes about 50 baths a day and always turns his back when he takes his clothes off. He also makes too much noise when he eats. He isn't perfect, and there are other men and women in the world who are better. A person should be able to marry a man or a woman. I'm serious. Love should be allowed with anybody. I love Jose. Good things only happen to you if you are good. Good? Being true to yourself is more what I mean. Anything that stops me from being a phony."
Our friendship became stronger and much closer during the end of summer. When Jose was in Washington, we usually spent the evenings together or went out walking. One time, we walked for 5 hours. We had lunch, bought some drinks, and stole some paper hats. We then walked across the Brooklyn Bridge and watched the ships move across the water.
"Years from now," she said, "one of those ships will bring me back to New York. Me and my 9 Brazilian babies. They must see this. The lights, the river. I love New York. I know it isn't mine, but I know that I belong to it."
"Oh, please shut up," I said, feeling jealous. Jealous that she was going on an adventure and I had to stay here alone.